Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. Today we're going to be talking about Jesus is the bread of life. And again, these are the words that Jesus speaks about himself. I'm coming to you today from Kenya, and God has been good to us. We're continuing to work on the pastor's house. We have a building project going, building a pastor's house adjoining the church that we just finished. And our church is going very well. We've been having about 70 every Sunday in our church service, and it's been amazing, really, because we haven't even promoted the church hardly at all. We just moved in and started having service, and many more people are coming. And so we can't fit any more people with the coronavirus restrictions. We can't fit any more people into the church. And so we are starting to set people out in the foyer, and we'll be setting people outdoors outside the church shortly, probably even this Sunday. So we thank you for your prayers and for your support for that. The children's home is going well. We have 17 full-time children there now, and plus we have four more every day for the school. So we have 21 in the school, which meets at the children's home. And so things are going very well, and we are accelerating in our service to the Lord here in Kenya. We're going to be talking today about Jesus is the bread of life, and this whole chapter of John 6 is a discussion where Jesus is talking about himself and how he came to earth to minister to us. And this whole discussion, Jesus is talking about himself being sent from the Father to minister to us, being sent from the Father, and he is doing the will of the Father, and he represents his Father who is in heaven. Well, this chapter starts out with Jesus feeding thousands of people with just a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish. And so there's an amazing, amazing miracle there that is astounding to the disciples, and I'm sure astounding to the people who ate the bread, ate the food. And so Jesus goes in then to this discussion about who he is and what his purpose is here on the earth. In verse 35, Jesus said to the disciples, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Well, that's a reference to the scripture in John chapter 4, where Jesus calls himself the living water, and that very scripture coming from John chapter 4 is the basis for our Living Water Church. We call it the Living Water Church, the Living Water Orphanage, and so that is the basis for the names that we have given to parts of our ministry here in Africa. So Jesus said, "He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Well, he's not talking about the physical aspects of feeding and giving your body liquids. That's not what he's talking about. Of course, you still have to eat. If you don't eat, you're going to wither away and die. And if you don't drink, within 3 or 4 days, you'll wither away and be very sick. And so it is important for you to eat. It is important for you to put a balanced diet into your body. Take care of your body the best that you can. Eat good food. Grow a garden if you can. And eat fresh food. You will live longer. You will feel better. You will have less medical bills and sickness and infirmity. And so just as a side note, in this coronavirus situation, people that have been impacted by the coronavirus more negatively, I guess you would say, or suffered from it in a negative way, have mostly been people that have had underlying health conditions such as high blood pressure, such as diabetes, and other complications, other health complications and underlying illness, that when they catch the virus, their immune response is poor, their immune response is suppressed, and they don't have the good immunity, they don't have the good health that they need then to reject that virus or to be able to stay healthy when the virus attacks their body. And so it is good to feed your body good food. It's good to feed your body food that is nutritionally sound. Don't eat a lot of junk food. Just eat good food. Put good drink in your body. Of course, alcohol is very destructive. Alcohol is a central nervous system depressant. It's a poison. And it's the same stuff you put in your car to keep the radiator from freezing up. But if you put good food and good drink into your body, you're going to feel better, you're going to live longer, you're going to be more satisfied and more happy here on this earth. But Jesus is talking about your spiritual hunger, that hunger that you need to get close to God, that you desire deep in your heart and your soul to abide with God and to come close to God. God has put His Spirit within us. When you're born, you're made in the image of God. Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us make man in our image." And so Jesus was there, the Holy Spirit was there, and so they created man in our image, in the image of God, they created him. And so God has put His Spirit inside of you, not the Holy Spirit, if you are not a born-again believer, but His Spirit, to abide with and to communicate with God. And so when you know God, then your spirit is aligned with Him. You are given the Holy Spirit then to abide with you. But that hunger that you have if you don't know Jesus, and even if you do know God, and even if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord, you still hunger with a passion to abide with God, to be intimate with God, to pray. Even secular people that don't know about the relationship with God, even most people of other religions, pagan religions, all kinds of diverse religions and pagan activity, they pray and they ask God for favors, whether it's a true God or a false God. They ask God for blessings, ask God for favors, ask God for fertility and for rain and all these things. And so we have a desire as human beings on this earth. We have a desire to communicate with God, to walk with God, to abide with God, and to have an intimate knowledge with God. And so that is what Jesus is saying here. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Beloved, if you're not used to reading your Bible, I would suggest you do that. That is the word of life. That is the word that God has given. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, John 1:14. And so when you read God's word, that satisfies that hunger. When you pray, that satisfies that hunger. When you worship God, that satisfies that hunger. Fellowship with other believers, with other people who love God, that is a satisfaction that satisfies that hunger. And so Jesus is saying that you will never thirst and you will never hunger, because he says, "I have given you the way to satisfy those deep longings of your heart and of your soul." Verse 36, "But I said to you that you have seen me and yet you do not believe." Verse 37, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out." And so he's talking about the ones that the Father, starting with the 12 apostles or the 12 disciples, the original 12, and even one of them was a son of perdition or was a son of the devil. And yet Jesus said, "The ones that he gives me, I will by no means cast out." Well, I don't believe in once saved, always saved. I believe that you have to keep your commitment to the Lord each and every day. Keep your commitment and stay humble. Keep your commitment to the Lord. Keep your confession of faith fresh. Keep your repentance of your sins fresh. And as you do these things, you have eternal security. But I also believe people can become hardened in heart even after once they have tasted of the heavenly gift, even after once they have served the Lord and know the Lord and confess the Lord. I believe it's possible for people to backslide and become hardened in heart and deny their confession. And at that point, then Jesus did not cast them out. They their own self out with the choices that they make and with their choice then to not serve Jesus as Lord and Savior. In verse 38, he says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." And so there Jesus is talking about his Father in heaven. He came to do his will. Jesus said, when I see the Father do something, that's what I do. When I hear from the Father, that's what I speak. And Jesus, all through this chapter of John 6, is saying, I came to do the will of my Father. Well, those people who believe that there is no Trinity, that Jesus is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, I beg to differ with them. They would have to argue with this scripture right here, because Jesus said, I came to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given to me, I shall lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. That is a reference to the resurrection of the saints. When Jesus comes back to gather up the church, the rapture, he says, I'm going to gather up all those who have committed to me, all those who have confessed my name. I'm going to gather them up at the last day, and I will bring them back with me to heaven for the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's Revelation chapter 19. I will bring them with me, and I will not lose even one of them. Every single one will come with me. Every single one will sit down and dine with me. Every single one will rejoice with me in his or her heavenly home. Verse 40, and this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And so this is the confession that the Christian faith is based on. This is the belief that the Christian faith has as its foundation, that if you believe in the Son of God, if you believe that Jesus Christ is who he says he is, and that you believe that and confess that with the heart, you believe resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth you confess resulting in salvation, and so you believe in your heart first, and then you speak with your mouth, yes, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe he is who he says he is, and that he came to do the will of his Father, and he came to save me. He came that I could be set free from my sin and my unrighteousness, and that I, in confessing his name, take the blood of Jesus, and he will cover my sins with the blood that he has shed for me on the cross. And so this is the confession. Jesus says, everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. And so as we confess his name, we then receive the blessing. We receive the salvation that Jesus promises. He writes our names in the Lamb's Book of Life, and then he forgives our sin and he forgets our sin. It's as if our sin was never recorded. He blots it out of his ledger. And so when you come to know Jesus, then your sins are forgiven. You are set free. You are a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Behold, the old has passed away. All things are new. And so if you are sitting out there today and you say, well, God doesn't know everything that I've done. It's such a wretched testimony that I have. It's such a wretched tale of broken dreams and so many wretched things that I've done. Beloved, God can clean you up. Jesus' blood can clean you up. It doesn't matter what you've done. What matters is what you do today. What matters is what you do tomorrow. And you can get right with God. You can take Jesus Christ and confess him as your Lord and Savior. You can take him at his word, because he is faithful and true to his word. And when you confess his name, you are a new creation. You confess him and you speak the truth that you believe who he says he is. He is. And then you become baptized, immersed in Christian baptism, baptized into Christ, and you are set free. You are a new creation. And beloved, when you take that step, if you've never been there before, you will rejoice. You will feel a burden come off of you. You will feel a weight of guilt and a weight of shame and a weight of sin come off of you. And I pray that some of you out there today will be touched by this message, and some of you will come to that place where you will accept Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Well, verse 41, the Jews then complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Well, that is a reference to the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is sent out to convict people of their sin. The Holy Spirit is given to us and convicts people of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And so the convicting power of the Holy Spirit is to draw people to the Father and draw people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's why Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And so the Holy Spirit is drawing people. The Holy Spirit is ministering to people. That's why we preach the Crusades. People come and the Holy Spirit does the work. Yes, we speak the words, but it's under the unction and the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is working in the crowd. The Holy Spirit is working over the whole scene and on the people that are preaching and the people that are ministering and leading worship. And the Holy Spirit convicts people of their sin, and it causes them, those who submit to that convicting power, it causes them then to come forward and make a confession. Well, I'm going to jump down to verse 53 in John 6. Most assuredly, I say to you, Jesus says, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him, as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father. So he who feeds on me will live because of me. And verse 58, this is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead, he who eats this bread will live forever. Well, Jesus isn't talking about dividing up his body and eating it physically. That would be very perverse. That would be an abomination. We're not cannibals, and we don't eat each other as people, and we don't drink blood. Ordinarily, that's for satanic people to do that, because they understand that the blood carries the life, and so they have blood drinking rituals in many of their witchcraft rituals here in Africa. But Jesus is talking about the spiritual nature of abiding in him, the spiritual nature of eating his body and drinking his blood. It's not a physical thing, it's a purely spiritual thing, and that is given to us as the sacrament of communion. And so we don't believe that we're actually eating Jesus' body. I know some people teach that, but we don't believe that. I don't believe that. Jesus is talking about the spiritual reality of abiding in him, the spiritual reality of paying homage to the fact that he died for us on the cross. His broken body was broken for you, beloved, and broken for me. And his body, the blood that was shed from his body, was drained from his body, that blood was shed for you to cover your sins. The power of the blood of Jesus can heal us, it can save us, it can set us free, it can perfect us. And so that blood and that body is what Jesus was talking about. Well, this is a lead up to a discussion here. I'm going to finish the day today talking about the sacrament of communion, which we do as believers, and Jesus gives the reasoning for this, and the Apostle Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23, and this is a discussion of the sacrament of communion. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And so when we gather together, Jesus said, do this when you gather together to remember me, to remember that my body was broken and it was broken for you, that my blood was shed and it was shed for you. I made a tremendous sacrifice for you. And so that is the reason then that we participate in communion. That is the reason so we can remember the sacrifice that Jesus gave for us, that sacrifice of his own body, his own blood that was shed for us, that we can come to know him for all eternity. And so in verse 24, Jesus said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So again, Jesus is saying, as you drink this cup, remember me. Remember the sacrifice that I made for you. Remember, you are now under a new covenant. You don't have to bring a goat or a sheep or a bull or a ram or turtle doves or anything else to be sacrificed on the altar. Jesus was sacrificed on the altar. His blood was shed on the cross. Then the Holy Spirit took his blood into heaven and presented it to the Father. And Jesus then was ushered into the kingdom of God, ushered back to the Father to sit at the right hand of the Father. And his blood had been presented as an eternal sacrifice for the sins of all mankind, not just today, not just the sins of today, not just the sins of the day of Jesus, but for the sins of all mankind for all eternity. The sins going back to the sin of Adam, all the way to the sin of whoever lives in the future, no matter how many years into the future, if Jesus tarries, his blood covers the sins of all mankind, all of the created mankind. His blood covered the sins. And so Jesus said, this is the new covenant. And beloved, when we are in the new covenant, the old covenant has passed away. We have freedom. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. And so we now have freedom to walk and to enjoy the blessings of being in the kingdom of God, to enjoy the blessings of walking in his glory, of walking under an open heaven. And we have the joy of knowing that Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior. Well, beloved, I hope that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord. If you don't, you can make that change today. You can accept the sacrifice that he made on the cross. You can do that today, and you will be a new creation. Follow up your confession of faith in Jesus Christ with Christian baptism, and you will come up out of that water rejoicing. You will come up out of that water knowing that the old has passed away. Behold, all things are new. Gathered the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We hope you've enjoyed these broadcasts over the many years. We ask you to sit down and jot us out a letter, make out a check for a donation, and help us to keep these radio broadcasts coming. Help us to keep these great projects going in Africa. You will be blessed. The people in Africa will be blessed. The people in America who are listening to these broadcasts will be blessed. And so that is our desire, that we would hear from you today. Thank you again for listening. Stay tuned for contact information. God bless you. Tune in again next week.